Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. And Stone, exciting times.
Hey, man, you got to be resilient. You got to be creative. But most of all, you have to remain invested in serving your clients and the people who you would like to be clients. So I can't think of a better guest to introduce for today's show on Atlanta Business Radio. Please join me in welcoming back to the Business Radio X microphone, founder with return client, Mr. Troy Hippolito. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I appreciate the nice invite there.
Well, Troy, before we get too far into things, remind our listeners about return client. How are you serving folks?
Oh, my goodness. It's been a interesting last few years, but I basically work to help other clients get clients, high value type of business relationships and that sort of thing. And it's actually picked up quite a bit. I think we cracked the secret in order to helping other individuals.
Now, are you using certain channels or you're just helping them in general?
Oh, it's a mixture. A lot of people use kind of a push button approach, which doesn't really work. And then you have others that are consultants. I kind of combine, a lot of different methods and a lot of different channels. I try to promote, what we call an omnipresence. It's kind of, that term kind of means, when you're multiple places at the same time and actually helping clients to offer actual value. And that's the main difference. It's not about selling. It's actually about helping individuals.
And then, who is the typical client?
From a solopreneur to a company up to 50 is kind of ideal. Those clients enjoy, those individuals enjoy, hands-on helping the clients. And so they're a little more engaged.
So now walk me through the process of these people, kind of inquire and they say, I'm assuming that you use your own, kind of secret sauce in order to get new clients.
Yeah. And I'm actually pretty public about what I do, just not how I do it.
Right.
that's the secret. But, we actually change based on trends. And so what we've done probably a year ago, we've kind of modified based on, results and that sort of thing.
Right. You're getting best practices and as you're learning, you're iterating.
Oh, yeah. And it's always changing every 3 to 6 months from the type of messaging to the approach to the partnerships in order to expand some of those things and realizing what clients are able to do and what they're not able to do.
Now, say you're working with a professional services person, maybe a CPA or a lawyer, so has their own practice, maybe a small practice.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the kind of the stuff you would ask them in that initial call to help them kind of see if it's the right fit?
Yeah, it's very interesting you brought that up. We just picked up a CPA, and as soon as we turned on the system, it took a little time. CPAs are a little slow to actually make the meetings and fill the things that need to be filled out. But once he got started, he actually picked up his first client within like 2 hours.
Wow.
Yeah. So the process is pretty similar to all clients. We have what we call an onboarding document or an intake document.
Mm-hmm.
And there's three things that's important on that. And that's the biggest part of the work that a client actually has to do. They have to actually sit down for an hour or two. And for CPAs, that's actually very difficult. So there's three things there. There's information about that individual, personal contact information, things that they do that are very specific to them. And then they have information about the company, which is the second, PDFs, links, all the information that I can kind of absorb from the actual company, size, targeting, that sort of thing. And the third thing is kind of a elongated way of actually identifying your target market, specific search. And we take all that information. And then we have writers that are social writers, not typical writers. And social writers actually develop the story. So we have a formula, and the formula again changes every 3 to 6 months. We just did an update last night. These campaigns happen, on LinkedIn. They happen off of LinkedIn. A lot of it's coordinating for some of the personal branding and that sort of thing. And so we kind of schedule things out, so our clients can actually, do the things that they need to do.
So now you mentioned LinkedIn. Is that the only channel you use, or is that the primary channel?
Yeah, it's, LinkedIn is really, really good, because I think they have close to 700 million, members, and they get a new member every 2 seconds. It's probably faster now than it was before. I'm not really sure the numbers now, but it's kind of crazy. And 40% of the people on LinkedIn are active. And so you have a lot of everyone's on LinkedIn. And so that's one way to actually access them. But where people go wrong is they try to sell, and they try to message people to sell and that sort of thing. And so we kind of curb that a little bit, and we kind of put the right domino ahead. For example, if you are messaged with by a bunch of companies, it's very hard to separate the right company from the wrong company if you actually want that service. It's because you don't know them. I have another company called ISO Interactive, and we did some huge projects. I'm using this for example. I did Coca-Cola Enterprises site, Xbox mobile apps, Harry Potter virtual worlds and stuff. So I've done some big projects. Even if I go out and say I've done these projects, they don't know me from Adam. So it's really hard for them to make a decision to want to work with me as a company. And so what we do is we concentrate on offering value. And one way to offer value is actually to do personal branding. So personal branding there are things like, how do I get my face in front of people? And it's video. So video is king in a lot of ways, videos and podcasts and that sort of thing. If they see your face and you're actually providing some information that's helpful for free, that plants a seed in their mind, and they get to know you as an individual. It's almost like having a referral. It's a different way of having a referral.
So and now how do you help that CPA who a lot of times CPAs aren't, you know, that excited about doing video and doing kind of stuff out there? How do you help that person?
Oh, you make it a lot easier for them. That's a very good question. What we're doing currently is, and we ran across this quite a bit. A lot of people are introverts. And so they don't want to be out there, and they had to get used to it. And we used to say, well, this is what you need to get done. And go ahead and get a plugin like Loom or something and do this kind of video, and we'll kind of walk them through it. Totally does not work. It was a terrible idea. It's easy for me.
Even though it seems simple.
Like, yes.
You're giving them the kind of a playbook of just do these six things and you're done. And then we have all the content, but they wouldn't do those six things.
They would never do it. it was very difficult because I'm the weird one. If I tell you I'm gonna do something, it'll get done. And that's just me.
And it's personal branding. They have to do something personal in order for this to work.
They don't want to be personal. So right. You have to arrange it and kind of tweak their thought process a little bit. And that's where the coaching comes in. And then you also want to set it up, make it easy for them. Mm-hmm. They can make an appointment. And if they can make an appointment in front of a computer or a phone or something like that, we have a whole video crew.
And then you'll do all the heavy lifting. Just have to show up.
Just have to show up, and we do some prep work. We say, these are the things we're talking about, and we have them dictate what they feel comfortable with, and we go from there. I'm an awful person in front of camera, but I do it anyway because people say, oh, he's a real individual.
Right.
And so that imperfection is actually a good thing. People on LinkedIn and social media, they want to see people that are real.
Right. Authenticity is more important than polished.
Oh, yes. Definitely. And so we had to actually find the right formula between that authenticity and that polish. And we said, well, there's a couple little things that we can do. You know, so certain things have to be cut, start, on and off. But there's certain things that you want a little fade in and a little title come in and, mm-hmm. and clean up on the color and things like that. And so you want a good balance between it where you're actually being very sincere and providing value to individuals and they get to see your face.
Now, you mentioned like in the case of LinkedIn, there's hundreds of millions, 700 million, I think you said, members around the world. How does that help that professional service person who just wants more clients, you know, in Omaha, Nebraska? Like they don't have clients from all over the world. They just want one or two more clients in their little city.
You can be as specific as zip code.
Really?
You know, oh, yeah.
With LinkedIn? Or?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. You can be as specific as industry type or individuals, individual companies, zip code, you name it. And so you can pretty much hyper-target a lot of your things. There's certain things it doesn't do. Right now, you can't search via gender. It's very hard to do that unless you have some kind of smart way of doing it based on names, you know, that sort of thing. But most things you can.
What about Facebook ads? Do you do any of that?
No, it's not really my strength. Usually a lot of those Facebook ads are derived for smaller B2C type businesses. And so it's a little different. What I target are larger relationship monetary type of arrangements. For example, companies that are producing like ITs, for example, IT companies, if they sell a job, it's $5,000, $20,000, $1 million or whatever it is.
Right. So like a minimum of $5,000, that's one engagement?
Well, if they have a subscription service that's $800 and up, it would be definitely worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you would be helping them target the group. Like, it might go beyond the borders then of their local market then.
Yeah. So you asked me earlier about, do we use LinkedIn only? No, we use LinkedIn as a base and it's really good, but not everyone's on LinkedIn. And so we have a way of rolling them off of LinkedIn. So you have two basic type of people and there's lots of other things. There's LinkedIn people and there's people that are not on LinkedIn. And if they're not on LinkedIn, they may be more responsive to warm email or other social media platforms such as Facebook and Instagram and even YouTube. YouTube's really big in certain areas. And so what we do is when we help with the personal branding, we produce materials that go on all these other social media platforms. Mm-hmm. So that's that first domino as far as getting out there. And then once we have several campaigns actually happen on LinkedIn. And people say, yeah, I have a software that does A, B, and C. They're probably going to get in trouble. Because if their software is detectable, LinkedIn will shut down your account. They don't care. And they should shut down because they don't allow certain type of systems to run on that. And so you have to do it in a way that's very authentic, that you don't go over thresholds. You don't raise any flags. You need to keep your account safe. That's one thing we do. We make sure that things like old invites are removed. You know, we make sure that when you send out an actual invite, you don't have wording in there that may flag, you know, what it is with your account. Because if you get flagged too many times, they'll put you on LinkedIn jail as well. And then if people don't want to be bothered, we make sure that they're not bothered. And that's a lot of those automation tools don't do any of that stuff and they get in trouble. And people think, I have one campaign going on LinkedIn. Great. I'm not making anything's happening. Well, number one, you're probably not doing any personal branding, which we have a whole crew that develops these videos and this helps with you with this content, articles, posts, you name it. And so they have this material that's being produced. And the client is paying for it. They're paying for the time to do that. And they're paying for the ability to actually gain better relationships. So you have that first domino. Then you have LinkedIn and they have a common campaign, which you connect and kind of grow a relationship. But that is even changing. And so the wording on that has to be very, very specific. And so, LinkedIn is messaging is not like an email. It's like if a email and a text had a baby, that's, you know, it's not as detailed. It's more business friendly. And so you have to speak that language. And when you're talking to them, you have to really find their pain point and be very, very short and helpful. Because if they don't want your service, you don't want to really shove it down their throat.
Right.
You just want to present what you're doing and identify what they're doing and having some intelligent conversations. We have a whole strategy around that. So that's just one campaign. But people forget that they may have a network already. They may have 5,000 or 10,000 or 3,000 or whatever it is that's on their network. And they're not accessing those people. That's like leaving money on the table. We have a campaign specifically for that. And they say, well, I got these other people and they're way out on my network. And I'm afraid to connect with them because I may get flagged. And you're right. You don't want to connect with people on third level and above because you will be flagged. I said, but there's something called InMail, and it's a LinkedIn service. You need Sales Navigator anyway to Sales Navigator is a paid service for LinkedIn.
Right. That's directly to – that has nothing to do with your firm.
No.
That's just a LinkedIn service, a premium service they offer.
You are correct, yes. And so that allows you to do certain searches and have certain emails. Well, we actually are able to identify the people that are on the open network, which is about 50 to 80% of the people anyway. And so you can use your InMail for whatever you want beyond the system, but we target all those other people. And so instead of sending 20 InMail a month, which is the limit on that software there that you purchase through LinkedIn Sales Navigator, we send between 20 and 60 a day just on that one campaign. So you're reaching out and building a network on one campaign. You're reaching out and touching base with your older existing networks. You're not leaving money on the table. You're reaching out to your third level and beyond without issue. And we have formulas that actually work really, really well. And then, and you say, well, you know what? They connected with me, but they really didn't talk to me. You know, I sent them a few messages. What do I do? Well, they may not be LinkedIn people. They may have connected with you and they see those messages come in through email, but those are LinkedIn messages and they'll ignore those. So we'll roll that into a warm email trip. And the first thing that it says is after 30 days, if they haven't contacted you, it's usually all right. Unless you're in, I think Canada, you can't do that because of the rules and laws. But if they've connected with you, they probably connected you for a reason. And so if you actually send them an email, it's much different than an cold email. I don't really believe in cold email, and maybe I'm not a cold email expert, but you typically get a 1% response rate. It's awful. And so if you can't get above 5 to 7 to 15%, it's just not really worth it, you know. And so our system, and I think I don't know what the open rate is, but my personal open rate on my emails are 79.9%. It's a huge open rate. And my reply rate is 15 to 17% on the reply rate. And it's low volume, of course. So you're only identifying the people who, number one, have connected with you on LinkedIn, and number two, who haven't really responded to you within a month, which is a reasonable amount of time. You can go ahead and reach out to them on an email sequence, something very, very short, a 1-2-3 type of deal. And the third is always letting them know you appreciate their time and you'll leave them alone, you know. And you have a typical email where you have unsubscribe, make sure everything's legal eagle when you send it out, and you don't sell. Your first message is to say, hey, no, people don't. Not everyone's a LinkedIn individual. And I think I connected with you for a month ago. I said, you know, I know you do A, B, and C. This is what I'm doing. I said, love to talk to you if it makes sense. Super simple. And you get really good responses with that. So you actually can... I have quarterlies as well for LinkedIn. So a quarterly message. Well, I mirror that on email too. Mm-hmm. And so if I have two quarterlies, I have two quarterlies to go out. So that means I have seven campaigns. I have my personal branding campaign. I have those three LinkedIn campaigns. And then I have those three email campaigns. And then we teach people how to respond properly and go beyond the system. I personally get between 15 and 25 business meetings a week right now. And I have to turn the system off. You know, when I say system, I meant humans, everything. We have people who report information too. So one of the services is that everyone who connects with you, we try to pull their information for whatever purposes they need, because that's their information. They should have it. They connect with that individual. So we have a list for that. We have the list for the 30 days. So we pull a list for that as well. CPAs sometimes have very specific needs. Right now, I'm running a campaign because it's tax season for businesses.
Right.
And they said, forget everything else. We need this to happen. And we make that happen, whatever that is. It longs us within reason, you know. So as far as a CPA, he's loving it. But again, they have some their own difficulties because of lack of time and things like that. And we try to cover some of those things by helping them get where they need to go.
Now, you mentioned that on LinkedIn, when you connect with them, you have access to a lot of information about them because you're now a connection. Do you help them pull like their email addresses off of LinkedIn into a database, and then you use that database to send these emails? So you're avoiding some of the like canned spam laws?
Yes and no. If you connect with someone, that's your data. So they just, I just give them access to that data. Mm-hmm. We don't do any campaigns for that. Because I personally don't think that just because you connect with someone, you should email them. I only think that you should email them if you've tried to reach out to them on one channel. And I think it's okay to reach out on another channel because they may be email people versus LinkedIn. Right. So that's the case where I would roll that over.
So you're not saying, okay, you have 1,000 LinkedIn connections, pull that 1,000. Now you have 1,000 email database.
Well, if you want 1,000 pissed off people, probably no, it's probably not a good idea to do that. But it really serves a very good purpose because, they have a sheet, also, and then they have like a daily email of who has responded on their LinkedIn and their email. So if they've responded, there's only one of several categories. They're either interested. They may be interested. Other, they're trying to sell you something or some conversation that doesn't relate to your business or whatever, and then not interested. And so those four categories go across whether it's email or messages or, and even notifications. And that's another thing that people forget, that when people reply back on your post, that's a lead, you know. People forget that all these elements, they don't understand about personal branding. You know, on every 1,000 views on average, you can get a meeting. You know, I did one post that had, I think, 20,000, I think it's got 20,000 views or whatever. And it was kind of the best one I ever did, but usually don't get out that high at all. But, I think I got like 20 meetings out of that.
Wow.
So I can close at least a few clients out of that.
Now, do you take any of this information and then use maybe Google Ads or any type of remarketing?
Don't even need it. You know, every business is different. I mean, when I tell you I literally get 15 to 25 meetings every single week, I literally do. And there is a mixed bag, though. A lot of our meet and greets. This is one of the meetings actually on my schedule. You know, but they're all business centric and they're all going out to kind of make something happen. They're for a purpose.
So now for you, you're setting these meetings to get more ISO business, or you're getting more return client business, or both?
Yeah, I'm getting both. I'm not really targeting on the IT stuff. I have a whole team that takes care of a lot of that. But I averagely get about 2 projects on the ISO side and about 3 on the return client side. You know, and they're smaller IT projects and things like that. But it works out really well. And there's a lot of other strategies too, but we don't have all day.
So now, what's the pain that CPA is having or the professional service person's having that return clients the solution?
Well, a lot of them are dry as toast, which is good thing. Because if they're really dry, they're probably really good at their job. Mm-hmm. But the bad thing is that people, they're super introverted and they need to get out there to see that. People like to see introverted people because they speak in a way that makes people listen. And so you have to get it out of them. And that's the thing that's, that we help the most.
And then for you, any advice to clients, especially like right now, we're going through a lot of economic trauma
in the country.
How would you suggest that a small to mid-sized business handles this kind of situation that we're in?
You know, I kind of anticipated you would bring that up. I think it's a very interesting time. And so where some clients are actually pulling back budgets, that's the opposite of what they should do. Where are they at? Home. What's in front of them? A computer. You think they're going to go on social media? Oh, yeah. They're going to go on all sorts of places. And so right now is actually the time to pour money into that. Because if you slow down now to get up to speed later, you're going to run a rat race, which you don't want to be in. And so instead of actually holding back, you actually have to push forward to this time because there's lots of opportunities.
And which might feel counterintuitive.
Not to me, but yeah, I imagine to most people. But it to me, it's kind of crazy. Like, why would you? I had one client say, "Oh, our funding was halted." I said, "That's ridiculous." <You know? laughs> But I have 3 other clients that I need to get this started now. And so it kind of evens off a little bit, and I actually get more because people are, I don't chase people anymore. So that's where you want to be at, where you don't have to chase people coming to you. I got text Sunday night. So I need a meeting with you. Someone had talked to me 3 weeks ago. You know, I don't know who it was, you know, and looking it up, I said, oh, okay. Okay. This person's legit. Okay. Sure. And I said, I manually set a meeting up, you know, and I said, the chance of that person converting over one or two meetings much higher than me going out and asking someone right. if they need those services.
Good stuff. Well, Troy, great advice as usual. And if somebody wanted to learn more, what are the coordinates?
Oh, it's just go to returnclient.com, and there's a little schedule button on the top right. Pretty easy.
And then on the website, is there any kind of information that just helps people out, or they got to kind of contract with you in order to get some of the brilliance that comes out of your mouth?
Yes and yes. So the site is it's a one pager. It it speaks very clearly on the story, and it's a lot of dry humor on there. And there's actually videos and documents and all that sort of thing, so you can kind of peruse it and see if that's something that might fit your business model. And if it does, schedule an appointment.
Good stuff. Well, thank you again for sharing your story.
Yep, thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. That was Troy Hippolito, returnclient.com. If you want to jumpstart and lean into this opportunity that's in front of us, that's a place that you should check out. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We'll see y'all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.